You know, one of the things that I've encouraged the church to do at times is the money that you saved during the fast, and probably all of us saved some money from going out to eat and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Part of the, you know, getting our hearts with the Lord is just giving that to make a difference for the poor, the needy, the orphan, the widow.
Yes.
Powerful stuff. Pastor Bert, you and Rich have got a great Wild at Heart men's retreat coming. Can't wait for that to happen. It's going to be an exciting time. If you have never been to Wild at Heart, let me just say it's life-changing for men. It changed my life. It's one of the top five books I've ever read. The retreat has been glorious for me and made a big difference in my heart. Even in my relationship with my own dad, it made a huge difference. And I just encourage you, if you have been, let me just say, you know, I've been several times, and every time God does something in my heart. So I want to encourage all of our men to be a part. See Pastor Bert or Rich, and they'll get you signed up. Tell us about this, honey.
Hey, yeah, I wanted to let you all know, Amy Barr from our church over Mount Washington, Lifeline, would approach me, and she said, hey, I want to do a girls' conference, 11 years old to 18-year-old girls. And she said, you know, it's on my heart. And she said, would you partner with me? I said, you know, my word, yes, I will partner with you. And she said, will you speak? I said, yes, I will speak. So I want to invite you all, if you have a young lady, if you know of any nieces, you have some, something flying around up here, please see me. I'm going to be over here at the table. It's $10. It's February the 10th. It's just a Saturday. It starts at 8:30 and goes till 4 o'clock. Breakfast, kind of a light breakfast there, and then lunch is also served. There's lots of games and fun stuff, lots of ministry. So if you're interested, please see me. I'd love to take you with me.
Hey, by the way, have you noticed the tables surrounding you here today? This is our small group fair, and small groups are starting this week. So we want you to be involved, because small groups are about connection, and God's all about us connecting and building each other up and walking in community together. And there's about 21 opportunities for you to dive in, make relationships, and grow in your walk with God, reach out to other people and invite them in. And here's what we're going to do for everybody who's leading a small group. Here's your little heads up here today. After the service today, we're going to have a meal together. We're going to turn this into a dining room quickly. We might need your help. And we're going to share a meal together. That's what all that good smelling food behind you is. Hopefully that's not a distraction. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that. But anyway, as we share that meal, we're going to have some of our small group leaders stand up and just share a little bit about their heart for their group, so you can hear about that today. I'm pretty excited about it. Lots of great opportunities. You and I are doing our young adult group again. I can't wait for that.
Connection.
You're doing a group for girls, God's girls. That's going to be good. Pastor Bert and Rich have a bunch of Pure Desire groups. There's just a lot of really neat opportunities. Get one of the sheets. Yeah, Glenn's got a great worship group. Get one of the sheets that lists all the groups as you leave today, and go back there, well, maybe after the meal, check out Small Group Central, but dive in and be a part. It's going to make a big difference. So, amen. Let's see. Well, we want to welcome our guest speakers today, and it's pretty exciting. There's going to be a pretty good list of them here. Normally, at this time of the year, we've had our dear friend Andy Landers come in and bring a message. He's been all over the world. We haven't been able to track him down. So I thought, you know what? We got a lot of people that are world changers on mission with God right here in this congregation.
Yep.
And I thought, what a great opportunity for you to hear 1 to 2 minutes from each of these guys. So here's our speakers today. Are you ready for this? Pastor Bert Moore.
Woo!
Rich Shanks. Woo-hoo! Come on up. As you hear your name called, come on up. Jose and Marissa. Cody and Heather. And you can notice these are heavy hitters. That's why it's doing that. Cody Brangers. Hannah, new to our congregation.
All
we're
right,
excited
Hannah.
To have Hannah. Riley Shanks.
Woo-hoo.
Timlin Bowens. Amanda Stanley. A surprise guest. And my wonderful wife. All right. Come on, let's hear from my wonderful wife. Don't miss that one. I'll clap for you, honey. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
All right, so they're going to come and line up across here, guys. I need you up here. If you can, you might drape off the platform. I don't know. But Trace, give them the mic and let's let them go. So 1 to 2 minutes each. I'll be right down there. If you go too long, I'll be making some kind of weird signal at you. So God bless you. Let's hear it again for this great group.
I've been a little sick, but I haven't been that bad. Come on, guys. So, all right. One of the great ministries I get to be a part of is Rites of Passage. Joseph over here is another one that just walks side by side with me. Thank you, Joseph. I just love that you're a part of that. When you can take a guy like me, who's kind of old and stuck in his ways, and put me over on the west side, and you figure out real quick that I'm a white guy, and all these little fellas come around, and you know what? They want to hear what I have to say. They want to hear what Jesus has to say through me. And year after year, we've been there going on 5 years now, and these young guys just continue to come back, and they just continue to glean from us old guys like Joseph and myself. And Rich, when it's in his schedule, he comes down and has been a part. And these guys just don't forget Rich. They always go, "Where's Mr. Rich, Mr. Bert?" So, but it's all because of people like you that feed into this ministry through the Harvest Project, because we get to feed these kids at times. We get to take them on special events. We're looking at doing some bigger trips with them down in the future. I want to get young men who will never get out of that concrete jungle, and I want to get them out west to see the Black Hills. I want to get them on a stream fishing at some point. I want them to see the mountains and sit around a campfire and eat some steaks that I can do real well out there. So I have a vision for that. So thank you for being a part of that and letting me be a part of that.
How do you follow that, right? So I just, I know, having been in your seat and putting my card into the Harvest Project year after year, it can be a bit impersonal for me, so this is awesome. But what I want to do is just kind of highlight one of the ministries that Bert and we benefit from is Pure Desire. 70% of men struggle with some type of an addiction. The percentages are huge in women and young men, and there's only 7% of churches across the United States that are doing anything at all to address those addictions. And so we have the benefit of reaching out to men through an organization called Pure Desire. It started with just myself and Bert and a couple of other guys. We now have, what, Bert, 8 to 10 meetings a week. It includes churches outside of New Song, other churches here in Louisville. And just to highlight, just to make this personal, you know, when you all give to the Harvest Project, all those nations that you saw, that's really amazing. But I just want to stress that you're helping people. You're helping individuals, these people that we come in contact with, that we sit across the table from, that are benefiting, their families are benefiting, their generations to follow are benefiting because of you. We have a man who is in one of our groups, great guy, highly successful. His addiction was work. He was wounded by his father years ago, just as many of us men were. And he rejected the Lord and anything that had to do with church because of that. He poured into his career as kind of a way to numb out, and he lost everything multiple times. He lost his family, his first marriage. He started coming to one of our groups on Saturday, and this Saturday he said that he and his wife had been attending church. Now they've gone 10 weeks in a row, and that his wife came to him because of the changes that she's seen taking place within their family and said, "I want a Bible." And so they went out last week. They spent 2 hours. They actually had to call Bert to find out where to go to get a Bible. I think that's hysterical. But spent 2 hours picking out this Bible, and he said they just had such great time together. And he just wanted to thank us because of the changes that were taking place in his family. That's because of you guys. That's because of the funds that you give to let us do what we do.
So it was just on my heart to share a bit of the journey that God has taken Jose and I on. And that was like 3 years ago. Pretty much we were not involved in missions. I was in college and we were still dating. And so, pretty much I was just walking home from class one day and I felt God speak to me, "You and Jose are going to teach in other countries together." And I knew that it meant missions, and I knew Jose, and I didn't feel like that was who he was. But God was just like, "Wait and see what I'm going to do." And specifically in a trip that we were going to take with my church to Nicaragua with you guys, and I felt like God said, "Wait and see what I'm going to do on that trip." And surely enough, a few days into that trip, Jose came to me and he said, "You know, Marissa, I don't know what this means for us, but I need..." Hello? Okay. Alright. Yeah, so pretty much, like, yeah, I was like, "Yeah, Jose, this is something that God was speaking to me about, too." So we prayed about it, and yeah, we felt like surely enough that was what God was asking us to do. And a few months later, we were married, and soon after we came to YWAM, and God has totally changed our lives and used that change in our lives to change others' lives. And we've been able to go and share the gospel in India and Macedonia and Cuba so far with YWAM, and I'm sure it'll be many more. And God is just continuing to take that thing of teaching in other countries together and just using it for his glory.
So for those of you who don't know, YWAM Louisville right now is pioneering a Bible school. YWAM Louisville is pioneering a Bible school. And Marissa and I, actually for me, this has been something that God has been speaking to me for the last 3 years. And over the last 3 years, I kind of let that go. I didn't think it was going to happen. And then out of nowhere, we pioneer a Bible school. And so we're students in the Bible school right now, and that's kind of our season. A lot of hours of homework and reading and studying, but it's awesome. And so I just wanted to share something specifically that the Lord has been teaching me so far through that. Last week, we took a day and we read through the book of Job. And if you've ever read through the book of Job, like, and if you're like me, you kind of always leave that book, "What the heck just happened?" Because I just don't understand. Why is this book even here? Like, why am I reading the suffering of this guy? But, one of the things that God was speaking to me is just through his story of Job. And if you've read it, you know that Job is a righteous guy that suffers. And that's pretty much the whole story. He suffers. And towards the end of the book, Job defends his innocence. And he yells at God. And he has this moment where he breaks down and he yells at God and says, "Hey, I'm innocent and I want you to answer yourself. Why am I going through this?" Because his belief was, if I'm good, then good things should happen to me, not the other way around. And when God shows up and he answers him, he doesn't answer him the way he wants. But God said to Job is really what God spoke directly to my heart. And the way God answers is with a question. And he asked Job, "Where were you when I made the universe? Where were you when I made the earth?" And then he just goes on and on about that. And really what struck me was that God in his loving nature, what he was just telling Job is, "Hey, you're seeing your life through your window, through this little small tiny window. And you're like coming to me and you're blaming me, but really you don't know how big my window is. how my perspective is. And really, God's perspective is so infinitely complex. There's so many things that God is really authoritative over. And the thing that I left with is, whenever I go to God and say, hey, God, like, this isn't going the way I want it to. I don't think you're not doing something right here. It's not really going well. I'm not seeing the fruit here. I'm not seeing my prayers answered. And that really is absurd and ridiculous to go to God and say, hey, you should be doing your job differently. Because we look through our window and we see our own perspective and we say, this is how it should be working. And God's response is, and it's a loving response, it's saying, hey, no, there are so many things. There are so many things that I have taken into account. It's not just your life and it's not just what you see. But, and really this book of Job is not about this guy suffering. It really is about God inviting us to trust him. And that's really just, man, it changed me. It's really like, you don't have to understand what's going on. You just have to trust him. And so I just wanted to thank you guys for helping us, for supporting us to be able to be on this journey. Because, yeah, we've gone to many places and we've talked to and preached many times. But really, God is also changing us personally. And that's just something we're going to be really grateful for forever.
So cool. A part of what we do, as well as full-time missionaries, is we do a lot of speaking in churches. And this past summer, I heard the Lord say, Heather, I have a message for you, and I want you to go home to Virginia, and I want you to share this message. And this message was about our time in China and just really the need for missionaries, more missionaries, to be going and being sent in the world. And I was like, okay. He's like, call your pastor. I'm like, Lord, we're going home to Virginia in a week and a half. And he's like, yeah, call your pastor. So I call my pastor at home, and I say, hey, you know, tell him God's given me a message on my heart. I feel like it's for the body, and I need to share it. He's like, okay, Heather, well, when would you like to do that? Like a week and a half. Oh, that's fine. That's perfect. That Sunday's open. And I'm like, okay, that's usually pretty short notice if you want to come and speak. I'm sure Pastor Jeff can attest. So I was like, all right, Lord. So we go home. We're sharing this message. We feel the Holy Spirit just moving throughout, and it was just this amazing time. And at the end, there's a girl who comes up to me, and she's like really moved by what we were sharing. And she's like, you know, I just prayed on Thursday for God to give me a sign. You know, I feel called into missions, but I just didn't know what to do or how to go about that. And I prayed Thursday, and you were here Sunday sharing about missions. And I was just like, oh, this is so amazing. How, kind of like what Jose was saying, God really is knitting us together, our lives together. And what he really showed me out of that is that he's so after multiplication, but that he's really after obedience. And that we don't always see the other side of where our, when he says, will you go, and we say yes, we don't always see the results. But today, I want to actually pass the mic to that very girl who walked up at that church service this summer. Her name is Hannah, and she's going to share a little bit more.
Yeah, so around the time that Heather and Cody came to speak, it was just a time in my life where I was like, I'm not sure where the Lord wants me. I feel hopeless. I feel depressed. I have anxiety all the time. And I've always felt called to some sort of missions. And like literally as soon as they started talking about China and like what they were doing with YWAM, literally I felt like God was like, boom, like right here next to me. And I was like, he was like, Hannah, go. Like it was going through my head and I was like sobbing for like absolutely no reason. And I cry a lot, so sorry if I start crying during this. But, yeah, so through Heather's obedience and, like, her perseverance in me, like, a lot of phone calls later, I finally was like, yes, I'm going to YWAM. And I've been told by numerous people that YWAM will not change your life, but God will change your life through YWAM. And I'm a living testimony to that fact. Like, God has transformed my life through, like, this beautiful community. And like, he's shown me so much about his character and who he is and who I am in Christ. And I just feel completely free and finally, like, where I'm supposed to be. And I just can't thank God enough and can't thank these people enough for how much they've made an impact on me.
So I always like to start out by saying thank you. Thank you for supporting us. And I think I can speak on behalf of pretty much anybody here that we really appreciate it. And we're not able to do the things we do without you. And a lot of you are like, well, I haven't supported you. But there's a single track mind that support always has to do with money, and that's not the truth. If you've invested in relationship with us, you've supported us. If you've prayed for us, you've supported us. If you've given financially, you've supported us. And I believe that's everybody included in that right there. So thank you very much. I'm a pretty simple guy. I like things put simple in simple terms so that I can understand them. So that's how I'm kind of going to break a little things down to you right now. Missions is the love of Jesus, relationship with him. And the first step into missions is saying yes. And that looks different for everybody. It's not always going overseas. It's just sharing the love of Jesus with somebody. And for me personally, I work in admissions and recruiting right now where I talk to people that are going to come to our schools. I'm already talking to people that are coming in March. I'm talking to people that are going to come in September. And for me, my missions starts with a phone call. That's my yes to the Lord. I have the ability not to pick up the phone or call anybody. I can shoot a bunch of emails and texts and stuff. But the Lord generally uses people for relationship and for somebody else. And we are the vessel for that because he's always about relationship. God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, relationship. And that's the same thing he wants with us. So me saying yes gave the Lord the ability to use me for relationship with somebody else. And I made a phone call to a very special young man. And at this point in time, I'm going to hand the mic to that very special young man.
So YWAM has been trying to get me to come for a very long time. And I've continued to say no for the longest time. And Cody called me one day right after work. I literally just got off and he called. And the whole conversation, I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was just kind of, I didn't care. I was like completely out of it. And then at the very end, he was like, hey, man, can I pray for you? And I was like, definitely. And at this point, I was like, not going. I'm going to continue work. I have a good spot in my life. And he prayed. And during that prayer, God was like, Cody, go do your DTS. And I was like, oh, God, why? I've had this so good right now. And you're going to do this to me. And I feel like we get in that spot all the time where we think we see the bigger picture. Kind of like Jose was saying, we see through our window, and God's just like, no, my window is so much bigger than that. And as soon as like Cody got done praying, I was like, dude, I think I'm supposed to do YWAM. And he was just like, kind of like shocked, because no one thought I was going to do it, I don't think. And he was like, okay, let's pray about it through the week, and we'll see how you feel. And God really just put it on my heart that I was supposed to do it. And if it wasn't for the relationships I had with some of the people in this church, I would have never been in the place to go and do this. So I just want to thank every one of you guys who have put into my life. Thank you guys.
So for those of you who were here last week, you may remember that I got up and I shared a little bit about my trip to Japan back in November. And on that trip, one of the things that the Lord spoke very clearly to me was that before I can go and be in Japan long term, I needed to find deeper personal healing for myself. A lot of the spiritual strongholds that are in Japan are things that I've personally faced. And although I found freedom in them, there are deeper levels that the Lord wants to release me into before I can go and really be effective there. So as I've prayed since being home, the Lord has made it incredibly clear to me that my next steps are to leave YWAM Louisville in March. I will be actually going to Salem, Oregon, to YWAM to do a school for biblical counseling. And I will be, at the same time, building a framework for how to counsel people biblically, which is training that I know the Lord has said that I need in order to work with victims of human trafficking and sex trafficking and other injustices in the world that he's called me to in Japan. But it also takes you through personal counseling. Their entire mantra is, in order to help others, you need to be helped first. So I'm kind of killing two birds with one stone with this school, but I know it's what the Lord has called me to. And I truly believe that after that school ends in June, I'm supposed to take another trip back to Japan in the fall and then begin pursuing Foursquare missions to actually go and be launched long-term into Japan. But none of this, none of my journey, none of what's coming next could have been possible without the support of you guys. From the very beginning, you guys have come along beside me and championed me on and encouraged me. Same way Cody was saying, financially, through prayer, through relationship, it, all of it has made such a huge difference, and I would not be where I am today without you guys. So thank you.
Good morning, church. I have the opportunity to go once a week and serve at Beside You for Life. And it has been a privilege to be a part of the transition from being a woman's choice to Beside You for Life, because now the clients know we're not only going to be like, you have these choices, we'll help you walk through it. This year, I have been with one client, which is kind of unusual. It's been 10 weeks. And the first time I was with her, I read the notes and I was like, okay, this client was all over the waiting room crying. She didn't want to be here. She left the appointment and the director just told me, we're giving you an easy one. So I was like, okay, God, what are you about to do? So she came in stone-faced. How can I help you today? I'm not going to have this baby. Okay. So we talked through it. She came back for 6 weeks, multiple times. She kept coming. It's a good sign. Are we keeping this baby? Where are you at with your walk? She said, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. So I was like, okay, God, you got to do something here. I'm listening. So the sixth week, I was like, okay, come back. We have some ultrasound techs. They're going to be training. They need practice. We'll get to look at the baby. It'll be a little bit bigger. I saw Amanda there. She was training. She's going to be an ultrasound tech there. And as soon as we go into the room, there were three people training and an instructor, and she just almost shut down completely. And I was like, no. So we go in, and they're looking, and she's real quiet, the quietest I've ever seen her. And I was like, God, come on. So I'm talking to her, and she's just like, well, I don't know these people, so I'm not talking. And I was like, okay, that's understandable. And one of them said, look at your baby. And she's like, it's so much bigger. They're like, isn't that awesome? And she was like, well, really? I can't remember if it was awesome or amazing. She was like, well, they made it amazing for me. So the first good sign we're going to keep this baby. We go back into the room, and she was like, you know what? I think God brings people together for a reason. She said, I know I'm going to be able to parent because you guys have helped me here. But as we began talking more, she was just telling me about, I feel alone and broken. I'm going to shamelessly plug here. Is Dawn in here? She's not. She's an awesome Freedom in Christ teacher. And I was able, God brought back to my remembrance the things we went through. Like, if you're a believer, you're secure in him. Your identity is him. You're not alone. He's with you. And she's been texting me now. We're at like week 10 now. And she's like, yeah, I'm working on getting my relationship back together with God. And I thank you so much for helping me. So I get the opportunity to build relationships with people, to help them to not be as broken and point them back to God.
That's a lot to follow, okay? But I am so privileged to be a part of Beside You for Life. It's always been on my heart to counsel pre-abortive women. And through Timelin, I started asking questions like, how do I get involved? So that night that I asked, she texted our boss, and she's like, hey, I have this gal from church. She's interested. And I had a meeting with her that very week. So I had an interview with her, and she told me about their ministry. And it's not just about saving a baby, okay? Our philosophy is you save a mama, you save a baby. So there was two different entities, Women's Choice and then Nicole's Place, and they merged. And so now a mama can come in, she gets a pregnancy test, she gets counseling, we evaluate all of her scope of her needs. And then when we're done counseling,
they can go over and have an ultrasound. And they gave me the opportunity to be trained this year. And so I'm a certified ultrasound tech at their facility. And so you get to plant seeds all along. So whether I'm taking a medical intake, I get to plant a seed of hope. And then I can say, would you like to see your baby? And we walk across the hall, and I can put a probe on her belly, and I can show her the life, that flickering heartbeat or the little movements. And it's just a seed that grows into a full baby. And so, as Tim was saying, you see the progression of these mamas where they're, I'm getting rid of this thing. It's, I don't want this. I have no room for it. And then they see that little flicker of hope, and their whole mindset, their heart is changed. So after that, we see, okay, well, I see you might have some financial needs, or you need some clothing. We can walk them directly upstairs where we can get them help financially, or they might not speak that good of English. We can teach them English. We can set them up with life skills, how to parent their new baby. Or we can take them up to our benevolence store where they can get clothes and diapers and strollers. Things that just show them that we truly are there for life. And so thank you all for your support. It couldn't happen without churches and bodies like you that give faithfully. So.
Thank you. Thanks. One of the things I wanted to talk about was Esther's house. And we just added Esther's house, Women of the Well. You'll see that. That's a new one that we added this year. And that is a ministry to get women out of human trafficking. So Summer Dickerson is the lady who is ahead of this ministry. And I went to a conference and actually met her there. And she is a survivor of human trafficking. And she's got a horrendous story of what has happened to her, but God's redemption. And so her heart is to reach out to other women and get them off the street. And it takes a while to do that. And so she builds that relationship with these ladies. And then what she did was she had a house built, Esther's house. And by the way, there's two more houses that are being built as well. To actually get the ladies off the street, they also do a Bible study of discipleship with them and also teach them life skills as well. So to give them hope. And that takes a while. A lot of these ladies have gone through so much. They have the PTSD. They have, and so they need a lot of counseling. They need medical care, those types of things. So this is really we've kind of gotten in on the ground level of helping them. And so it's just a privilege to go and meet the ladies. We're going to go Wednesday. Ada is going to make a Puerto Rican dinner. And so we're going to bring them dinner Wednesday night, and then we're going to hang out with them and play games, because they're like, can they just hang out with regular women and have regular relationships where they see interaction that's healthy? And so that's part of it. And that's what I love, because it's about relationship. And you all are giving, and it's exciting. And you know what? You can give, but you can also come with me. So I'd love to, if you're interested in that, just let me know, and we'd love to have you. We'll take you with us. And you can sit down with the girls. You can talk to them, and you can minister to them and just encourage them, because we all need that. So thank you all.
Okay, we have some special guests that want to say hi this morning. Welcome the Harper family from Florida this morning. Mike, Janine, say hi to everybody and give us a brief word, both of you. And hi, girls.
Hey.
Hola a todos. ¿Cómo están? Hey, we've been pretty busy at Casa Hogar since we saw you guys last. There's 100 kids in the program at Compassion, so we get to be part of that every week. And Rondus and Sylvia's church has 200 in the program. And there are two more compassion projects in the works in the air. Posted 7 retreats, 2 medical clinics to remote areas, and we are nearing completion for dorm 2. We're pretty excited about that. It's been a lot of work, and the girls have put in a lot of the ceiling for that complex for the dorm. We've been working on the infrastructure for Casa Hogar, and we've been working on the plumbing. There were a lot of underground leaks that we found, so we fixed those, and we restored the backup water supply for it. We're excited about that, since the water seems to go down often enough to warrant that. And the Hopkinsville Church helped us raise enough money to buy a generator for the complex. Now there's a backup generator wired into all of the complex. So we're pretty excited about that stuff.
Yeah, in the future we have two American teams already on the calendar. One is the dance team coming from New Song, and we have the goal to complete dorm two. And we have two retreats coming up. One of them is as soon as we get back in March, we have a marriage retreat. We also have weddings that are starting to book at Casa Hogar, so that's kind of cool. We planted all kinds of new flowers and getting the grounds modernized a little bit. And we've gotten to participate in two medical clinics. One of them is out in Leon in a really remote area. Those people have not seen doctors before, so we are doing continuous care. We're partnering with one of the sister churches to Rodney's and Sylvia's church. And then we have a huge goal that we're working on, and that is to put a new ceiling in the comedor, the eating area. It is in great need of an update, so that is our future project that we're looking at. So we're really excited. And when we get back, we also get to give an audio Bible to one of our guards. They do not know how to read or write, and he has not had the privilege of having a Bible he can understand. So someone donated enough, and he has an audio Bible that is solar-powered, so he'll be able to read God's word that way when we get back. So we're excited about that.
Thank you, Harpers. We love you all very much, and we're praying for you. Please know that. Can we give the Harpers a good hand again?
Thanks, guys.
Hi, guys.
Well, that is exciting. As you can see, you all are a part of so many things. And so we thank you so much for your faithfulness and for you praying with us and partnering. We couldn't do this without you all. And you're very important to us. So thank you.
All right. So a couple things we're going to do real quick. Ushers are coming and going to hand you a brochure for Nicaragua this summer. We want everybody here praying about being a part of that mission. This is our 20th anniversary year. Isn't that exciting? 20 years God has been using this church to impact the nation of Nicaragua and has done great things there. We'd love for you to be a part of that team July 4th through the 13th. So get that in your hands. Pray over it. And worship team, come on back up. We're getting ready to have our march. We're going to go ahead and bring our Harvest Project cards as we march and worship and thank God for his goodness to us. And how many of you were blessed by those testimonies today? Can you thank everybody who got up and gave a testimony? That was pretty cool. I love how Heather and Cody teed that up with, here's the girl I called. That was awesome. So that is amazing, just what God is doing. So, all right, well, the worship team is coming. I hope you have taken some moments. In fact, I'd like to do that right now. Just kind of pray with you through this process of the Harvest Project. Remember, this is giving for all year long. It's not just a one-time gift. It's how much God could use you throughout the year to make a difference all over the world. So I know Tracy and I are praying about our amount and have a sense that God's calling us to raise it from what it was last year and just continuing to trust him. He's been so good to us as we give, he has a way of just blessing us back amazingly. So let's pray together. Father, we just pray right now that you would speak to your kids, which is something you do so wonderfully, so awesomely, so gently. It's your spirit that's alive within us that just resonates your voice. It's not an audible voice on the outside. It's a voice on the inside of your spirit that lives in us. And Lord, help us to hear clearly. Your word says again and again and again, let him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Would you show us what you want us to do, each of us individually or as families and as a church, God? I pray that you'd speak in such a way that we'd blow that goal out of the water, that we go to even more countries this year, that we'd see even more lives changed for your glory. even more babies saved, even more young men in the West End raised up and mentored, even more people find freedom. God, you're just doing amazing things in so many places, in so many ways. Lord, just speak to us and help us to be obedient to that which you're speaking to our hearts. We love you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you will rip off that bottom part of your Harvest Project card, here's our baskets. I'm going to ask you to stand. The worship team's going to lead us. And just start coming and just drop those things in the basket. We'll let you know next week. You can turn them in all week long, by the way. So, and in the weeks to follow, if you need to, we can always add to it. But are you excited? I'm excited about what God's doing. Amen? Let's worship and let's march.
Surround me with her soul. You've